The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, we are back. It usually is Give Them Lala with Randall, but today, after popular demand and request and obsessive text to me, you have got it. Today is the Dad Podcast. We have switched it up. We have Bo back.
Hello, hello.
Yes.
Yes. Golf clap.
And Jax, who usually is in our Dad Podcast, is out of town, and we have replaced Jax today with the incredible He-Man, Conan the Barbarian, stud of studs, Brock.
G'day, guys. Yes. How we going, baby?
Woo! All right, so you asked for it. It's back. We've said we're going to try to do this a little more often, Bo. You know, we all got a little busy with having kids.
You know, changing diapers. It's hard a to thing. Get back on the mic.
So we have a full hour today for you guys. Lala is in New York doing Watch What Happens, and we are here to talk about children and fatherhood.
Yes.
All right. So my first question, and then you guys, you know, I think we should just do what we do. What for you guys, because you guys are first time fathers, what for you is the coolest thing now that your baby is 9 months, Bo, and your baby's 5 months? What's the thing like that was magical for you that's changing, that's evolving?
Her walking, her getting, like, not walk, she's you know, I think I posted on my Instagram when she first stood up. We were in Boston. I think this was like a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, but she first just stood up. So that was like losing my shit.
Yep.
Now she's crawling upstairs. She's crawling everywhere. I have like I made baby ninja, little obstacle course, you know, the big water jugs.
Yeah.
So I put them all, I have like five of them. I put them all around. I space them out. So she'll crawl up it and then walk to the next one.
Wow.
And to the couch.
Wait a second.
So she can't stand up and walk by herself, but she can walk while holding on stuff.
So the support. Yeah. Okay, so that's that's huge.
That's huge. Yeah. So that's like been my whole, the last like 3 weeks, that's just been like, oh, I'm going to put an obstacle course here. And then I'm going to put like a box. Will she crawl under the box, pop back up?
Wow.
Boxes are kids' best toys, right? I can't wait to do it over summer. We saw an app of like, it's development phases where you can like have a box and you can go ahead and put some, what is it, wool and string through, so you can go ahead and give them like lasers when they walk through and crawl through. Oh, yeah, I downloaded this app and I can't wait for that phase. We're not there yet.
What's the app called?
I'll pull it up on my phone real quick. We're not there yet with Summer. She's definitely just learning her voice. Last night we actually found out that she had a vocal cord and she was just sitting there with her mouth wide open going, just constantly. It was the best.
Wow.
But that's the thing. Like, is it her thought process? Was it like, good as gold?
Oh, baby. That's funny. Yeah, no, look, I'm all for it. I think watching, can't wait for it to start walking, but kids have just imaginations, right? And they're completely blank. So they're just trying to learn how to do anything.
I agree.
Like, I want to put my hand up, and they figure that out. Motor skills and all that, it's so exciting every step of the way, but congrats, mate. Watching your little one walk around.
You know, because there's someone we know that I think that their baby started walking at 10 months, and I found that out maybe like 3 months ago, and I was like,
10 months.
10 months.
Started That's
walking.
Aggressive.
And I was like, we have to tie that. We have to beat that.
If you get your kid to walk at 10.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I'm doing. She's 9 and already, I'm like, oh my gosh, can we do this? Because I look at other babies that are older than her and I'm like, she can do that. We can do that. We have to try to get her.
Oh, yeah, because you want to win.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a winner.
I want to win or at least tie.
Well,
mostly I want to win.
Well, my kid's going to be doing triathlons at 7 months. I'm just letting them all know that.
He's teaching her to do the triathlons. You, Randall?
Fuck no. Do I look like a guy that can barely run down the block?
You know, I remember you said that when we were at the what is it, the baby reveal, and I was like, so what do you want, a boy or a girl? And you're like, I want a girl. You think I want to run around playing fucking soccer at in like 3 years? Hell no. He's like, girls are chill. I'm like, okay, that's smart. But also, going back to the walking thing, my winning at 10 months actually sucks because now I have more stress. Because it's like,
she's walking.
Because now she's crawling all over the place, and it's like, I'm going to be that parent with a leash.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay to be that parent.
Oh, you're going to do that.
I'm going to get that leash. I'm going to get the backpack. backpack that like, wow, like the, that holds on to her. I'm going to clip it to my belt.
What about the light up shoes? The squeak, yeah, squeak, squeak, right? Squeak.
Oh, yeah. There's those too. The squeaky shoes.
Wow.
I don't think I really am going to be the leash dad because I would always judge them. But in my mind.
Wait, do you think Stassi would buy the leash thing?
No. Unless it was chic.
What if it was a leash with like the cord on it that expands a little longer? That one's a little bit better. I mean, you can let him run for a minute.
I'm going to have to do that if we go to like Disneyland or something.
You know, just Disneyland's a different game. Disneyland's a different game.
But yeah, it's just the stress is already there when she starts crawling because all of a sudden I turn around and it's like, oh, she's getting into the cabinets. And then I had to go buy all those things, the cabinet, you know, locks.
Do you guys find, this is with Lala at least, Lala, and I don't know if it's just hormones or it's Lala's, you know, just very emotional person, but every time she has like a monumental moment, Lala like loses. She's like, she's growing up so quick. And I'm like, babe, this is the exciting shit. She's like, I know. And are they like that? I mean, is Stas or Sheena like that?
Look, Sheena is just overwhelmed with anything my child does. Anything she does, she's excited for.
That's so, like Lala.
It's a great support. I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay, cool. What about Stas?
Yeah, I think we are too.
A little harder to be impressed, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, the same thing. Same. Stas, yeah, it's like whatever she does. It's like, you know, when something new, we're like, oh my God, get out the camera. But then now Hartford knows what the camera is. So I don't know how you guys are. It's like she's doing something cute and all of a sudden we pull out the camera. She's like,
she stares
what's
at
that?
It.
Wow.
She loves FaceTime. She loves looking at herself in the phone, loves looking at herself in the mirror. That's the way how
Ocean likes, she loves the camera. She doesn't let go. Like this morning I FaceTimed Lala in New York and I had the camera, you know, in front of her and she's trying to hold the phone. Yep. I mean, she's at that point, but don't know like how detailed the awareness, but she could see her mom and you could see she was smiling.
She understands
and,
the voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those are great moments. I remember that, like the first time.
Have you guys had any scary moments where you were freaked, like, oh my God, you know, like near miss of just, I don't mean like tragic, just like near, like, oh my God, she rolled off the couch, you know? I mean, obviously I rolled off the couch a lot. That's why I'm the way I am. But I'm just saying, like, did anything like that happen? Did she, you know, take a fall or just anything that freaks you out? Or
I mean, you know, there's some, nothing crazy, but every time she does fall and like bump her head, especially now that she's up.
Yay, you bumped your head. Oh, wow, that's so good.
Trying to give her a signal. No, that's fine. You're good. Don't worry. Don't cry.
That's what you do. And then you wait. And then you wait for her. And then she giggles. And you're like, okay, good. Right. Oh, my God.
I do that. Like, sometimes, like, if I was changing the diaper the other day, because now I'm, like, really into changing the diaper, because clearly Lala posted that.
we all saw it.
All right. No, we all saw it. We were like, ooh. Daddy must have did something wrong.
Yeah. If you guys were looking. I'm not going to comment on that.
Burn, Lala with the burn. Coming
and by
in
the
hot.
Way, no, but I literally, somebody called me and goes, dude, you have two other kids, you don't know how to change diaper. I go, bro, I'm old, okay, and I forget. And so I thought I was, by the way, it was the middle of the night, I were in the middle, early morning, I was, put the diaper on, I was trying to be like hero dad for, show her like, I can still do this. And then I put the shit on, I was like, baby, look, I changed the diaper. She goes, it's on backwards. Camera comes out, the fucking video and the picture, and I go to work or whatever, and then people start calling me like, you can't put a diaper on right? I'm like, this is fucked up.
She got you.
So you know what I did? True story. I went to the nanny, of course, when she wasn't there and she was out. And I was like, Liz, hook me up. Let's go have a little sit down. She's like, what do you need? I go, just these diapers are a little tricky for me. They look the front and the back the same. She goes, I got you. And then we practiced for like 20 minutes.
Did you practice on Ocean or like a fake baby doll?
No, on Ocean.
Okay.
On Ocean, how to take the grunt. Ocean had to take the grunt of this. I was like, she's like, strap, pull tight. And I was like, all right. Then Lala came on and go, I'm going to change the diaper. I got this. Boom, boom. She's like, good job. Like, oh, you're not posting today? Today's not a posting day.
Don't post that. It's a success.
I mean, what the fuck?
Wow, love to bust our balls.
Oh, my God. But I make a serious effort to, you know, be in. But I'll tell you from my perspective, what's changed for me with Ocean is that, like you said, the personality. Now her personality is so fucking alive.
Yeah.
And I look at her and I melt into, like, she just looks at me and with that smile and I'm like, I don't even want to go to work. Like, what the it's just magical. Yeah. Every second is like, you know, different now. And I can't get enough. It's really like,
I remember when, you know, Hartford was first born, I feel like the first like month or two, it's like she looked through me and I was like, yeah, I mean, I love this baby, but it's like, I mean, she doesn't, I mean, she gets zero fucks about it. Like, she, I mean, you know, it's like she's looking through me and gives, like, I'm like, all right, cool. But then now it's like the more the months and the days that go on and on and on, then it's just, then you start to see all these changes and these
and
things.
And the love. Don't you feel the love is just, it's, I mean, obviously I'm 50, so, you know, I it's been a minute since a newborn, and now that connection, like, of
it's
like
different,
it's so, yeah, and it's like 6 months, it's like, I mean, I just can't get enough. I go home and I'm like, where's the baby, where's the baby? It's like Christmas, it's like Christmas every morning.
You look at the time, like right now we've all been fathers at this period of time. I've never been home so much. I've never been home this much to be available for my child.
Same.
And well, so that you can see everything. So it's like, in the beauty of being at home, plus, but it's a struggle to try and figure out that work-life balance. But at the same time, that's the one pleasurable thing I get from it, is that I've been home and get to have these experiences a lot more than what I did, even with my first two. I was at work every single day.
I come home
and they'll be asleep.
I travel too, and I totally understand that. And it's like being really trying to be home all the time, at least in these early stages. It's like, it's so different. It's like, I mean, every second is a different second. And I know it's cliche to say that, but really, like, waking up in the morning and seeing her just look up at me, it's like,
just smile.
Oh my god.
That morning smile.
Stassi and I race, we literally race each other down this, like, if the alert goes out, she's up. We race each other down to be the first parent to get that smile. Right,
because you don't, because it's 1 second. You get that first smile. Is
so we will literally like push each other down. I'll go up and I'll close the baby gate on her. Run downstairs, open that door, flash the lights, turn on my music.
Hey.
Ciao, amore. I try to speak as much Italian as I can, so it's just like ciao, and I do my little hand thing, and then she kind of lifts up her arm, big smile,
my God.
Like yes, and then Stassi comes in, she's like, you motherfucker.
It's so mad. Yeah. I could relate. It's just, I mean, I think, I don't know, there's just this magic that's just so unique that if you just, you know, and I know people say, oh, you guys, we all have kids, we all feel that. But I think from a dad perspective, I don't think people get to hear as much. Like, we feel the same way. Like, because, you know, usually it's like, oh, it's a mom and it's, you know, the mother and we're off at work. But
she's more sensitive. That's like old school mentality.
Right, right. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, you know, like I melt into that smile, and I it's just, it's crazy. Today, she was outside in the backyard and with Liz before I went to the office, and it was our nanny, and I walked over and I walked right in front of her, and she just, the grin, the smile, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to work right now. Take the baby.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm going to go sit for 20 minutes.
Yeah, productivity hasn't really gone too well with the baby. That's for sure. I'm like, oh, sure, I'll just call you.
It's just hard because you just want to, you know, you want to be, you know, I don't want to miss any of this. And I feel like, you know, do you find that like a struggle trying to balance?
No, because I mean, one thing, you know, I'm kind of, you know, COVID's awful, but from COVID and living in Los Angeles, staying at home and working from home a lot.
Yeah.
Really gifted both of us.
Yeah, that's
an amazing opportunity that we would never normally have. Yep. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. So that's a good point, because you guys were really, I mean, when I say lucky, COVID was tragic and horrific, but you guys were lucky because you really had your child at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
on 9 months ago.
So yeah, right.
She was pregnant. She was pregnant during all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad that Hartford was born kind of like the end, well, not the end, but you know, it's like when it
leaves. But the time allowed.
The week of light was coming back out.
But I feel like, you know, through all tragedy, we try to find like a glimmer of light. And I feel like all of us kind of had, you know, babies during a pandemic.
Babies,
during a worldwide pandemic, which
I mean, I think a lot of people have their own name. Like, you know, Gen Z, they're probably going to have like P baby. Yeah, P baby. That sounds weird.
Pandemic. All right, so what should we shift to now? Oh, by the way, I think in honor of Jax Taylor.
Should we roast him? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, I think we should bring Brock up to speak, because Brock wasn't here. But we want to share with you, and you'll remember it better than I. Tell people what we did to him and what he tried to do to us.
Do you know what a milk cart is? A milk cart? Jax was brought around and slept in a milk cart. A milk carton? What was it, Rand?
Hey, a milk carton.
No, it was a milk carton. Milk carton. Yeah.
We're like, what the
fuck? Like a box.
Yeah.
He was acting like my family brought me around in a milk carton all around. I slept in a milk. We're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, and he tried to tell us, Bo, the big thing was, he kept saying to us, now I remember, this is normal. What are you guys talking about?
Everybody I slept in was a sock drawer.
Okay. Okay.
It wasn't like a full-time bed, but like when we went on holidays,
okay, you and Jax. Okay, you and Jax then had different upbringings than Bo and I.
Yeah.
I wasn't put in a sock drawer, nor was I put in a box because I asked. So you were put in a sock drawer?
Yeah, well, I was youngest of five, so I was kind of like the last. It went the two brothers, the two sisters, and they're like, oh, we'll put Brock there.
Gotcha.
And I was only a little fella. So
like your middle brother had like the jean drawer.
There'll be,
so you got
the
downgraded.
The one.
I grew up in a jean drawer, but Brock, he got the sock drawer.
Yeah, no, that's, I love my mom. Thanks for that, mom.
Jax?
I'm on the way to the airport, about to check, get to check in.
That's okay, Jax. Just stay on the phone. You're live on the Dad Podcast. Say hello.
Jax.
How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
You got Brock, what's myself, and Bo.
Are you jealous?
Are you jealous? Jax.
I can't hear. What's going on?
We miss you. We're on the Dad Podcast. We got Brock here and myself and Bo. We were just bringing up milk cartons.
Mm-hmm.
Milk
carton bottom.
Will you share with Brock how you were raised in a milk carton?
First of all, it's not a milk carton. It's an egg box.
Egg box.
An egg box.
It was an egg crate.
Egg crate.
Okay, can you break it all down for us? Break it down for us.
Well, again, you got to remind you, this is 1979, 1980, okay? And, you know, people didn't have a lot of money. My parents were borderline hippies, okay?
Okay.
It was the hippie generation. My parents went camping, and I was a newborn, and it was happy, peace, and love. And I went in an egg box because it was safe. And you just did it. It was just safe. It was just like a cardboard box with some blankets in it. It was like I was a stray cat.
You know, it actually sounds a lot more safe than Brock's sock drawer, because like at least you're not gonna fall out and like land like three.
Yeah,
feet
no,
down.
It was like I was like in a sturdy box, like when you go to the grocery store and you get a big box of eggs and it comes in a big box.
No, we don't know. That's the whole point. We don't.
The reason
know.
we had access to those boxes because my dad worked at a grocery store.
Stop. Okay, Jax, I really fucking miss you. We need you back here. Okay, so you and Brock have a very, very strong connection, because Brock just let us know that he was raised in a sock drawer.
Well, not raised.
Yeah, you were.
When we go on holidays, similar to Jax, when we go on holidays, we weren't a family of five. We were a big family. We weren't the richest family. So when we had a motel or wherever we stayed at, I got the sock drawer. I was on the road.
Yeah, you gotta admit, like we were. My parents were. They didn't have a ton of money, but they liked to go camping.
Exactly.
And they're not gonna bring a playpen to the forest where we go camping.
Yeah, so too bad they didn't have pack and go like they do now.
There's no such thing as pack and plays in 1979.
Okay, hold on. But I was 8 years old in 1979, and I did go on trips with my parents. And by the way, my parents weren't billionaires or loaded. I mean, you know, they were fine, whatever it is, you know, middle class, I guess. And I was never put in a sock drawer, and I was never put in an egg crate. So I'm just putting that out there.
Did you go camping? We went tent camping. If my parents were going to sleep in a tent, you think I'm going to sleep in anything better than that?
What exactly is tent camping compared to normal camping?
No, because like some people camp in campers, some people go in tents, some people camp under the stars. Well, we went in tents.
He's bringing up valid points. Like back home, when we sleep in a sweater, which is in a tent.
Did they have like an extra small little tent for the milk crate, or was it like did they put you in the big one with the family? We're just trying to get a visual.
Yeah, where were the milk crates sit?
Randall has a picture of it. Let him show it. Tell him to show you. He does. He's got to pay. It's a fucking box. Who wants to tell you? It's just a cardboard box.
Hey, do you have a vein popping out of your forehead right now, Jack?
Trying to explain what a box is.
Can we get a photo of a box and then frame it and then just have it here in the studio?
With the sound at the same time? Just look up egg box. It says eggs on the side.
Brock, it says eggs. Brock, you have to send us a picture of you in the sock drawer and Jax in the egg box, and we're going to post it on our gram. Yeah.
Sorry, I guess all your parents were ballers when you were a kid.
Ballers! I mean, ballers!
No, we didn't do the nature thing, so I didn't. No,
I was in Miami.
Yeah, I was in Florida. We just went to the beach.
My parents had like two nickels to rub together. What do you want them to do?
But you were raised in Michigan, or you were raised in Florida?
No, I was never, I don't know why people say that. I was never raised in Florida. My parents moved to Florida when my sister and I got out of high school.
Okay. So we never went back to Michigan after that.
So people just assume.
Yeah, my mother's from Michigan, too, and I'm willing to bet that she wasn't raised in an acre.
Well, remember, we did call his sister, and she did verify that.
Oh, she did.
Remember, we called Jenny.
We need a photo of I really want to see.
I'm sure there was some other interesting things that your mother did with you as a child. I can just imagine.
Wow! Whoa! Wow. Boy, this podcast went fucking south real quick.
Oh my God, Jack's got the boxing gloves.
No, I'm not.
Jack doesn't fuck around. He goes for TKOs.
God, he just goes right for the dick. Yeah. Right, instantly, just
no,
dick
I'm
punch.
Just saying. I'm like, listen, I'm not the old. My parents weren't crazy. It was just the norm. It what was the
Brittany
norm for camping.
Brittany's with you.
What oh yeah. Wait. Brittany's from the south, from Kentucky. So Brittany, well, ask Brittany what boxes she slept in.
She doesn't remember.
I'm willing to bet that Brittany did not sleep in a box ever, and she went camping probably 100 times more than you did.
Yeah, and she lived on a farm.
She lived on a farm.
Yeah. So, yeah, she probably was like, no, I slept in a crib.
Yeah. I said, hey. All right, well, Jack.
She was also born in 1989.
Oh, here we go with the year.
Don't age yourself, buddy.
Oh, that's right. She was born on a spaceship. My bad.
I was born in 79. She was born in 89. Remember big
Jack,
difference.
Remember Jax has to walk to school in the snow and everything
right,
before, cars, uphill. Before the cars were invented?
So.
No, he rode a dinosaur like I did. Yeah.
So by the way, on that principle, I was in the 90s, bro. I slept in a sock drawer.
So everything's strange down under, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's why. Maybe
we're a little bit slower down here.
Like, it's a little, yeah.
The water spins a different way, bro.
I always thought that, too. And then when I went down there, I was like, someone lied to me.
I gotta pull into my parking spot.
All right. Jax, we're so grateful. We love you.
Buddy.
Brittany, we love you. Thanks for being on.
Take care.
After that, we're going to take
Thank
a quick.
You.
Love you guys. We're
Thank
gonna,
you, guys.
We're gonna take.
I'll be home tonight. Okay. I'll be home tonight.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna take a quick break and come right back.
You guys, it is finally shorts and t-shirt weather. My favorite kind of weather. Time to put the jackets and sweaters in the back of the closet where they belong. And if you're like me, I know you want to update your look for the summer, but you don't want to break the bank in the process. That's where Quince comes in. Thanks to Quince, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic all summer long. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at just $30. And this is my favorite part. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all those savings on to us. I am wearing my Quince cashmere tee again today, and I have no shame. I got the cream color. It's so soft. It's so comfy. So chic. Almost as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got to put in Palm Springs. We all are obsessed with those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Lala. My days of panicking over gift giving are officially over, and yours can be too, thanks to Gift Mode on Etsy. I absolutely love this. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's super easy too. Just tap or click on Gift Mode on your Etsy app or at Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. I can't tell you how calming it is for me to see all of those ideas pop up on my screen. I recently had to find a gift for one of Ocean's little friend's birthdays, and I was tripping. Then I remembered, just use Etsy Gift Mode to shop for the creative kid. And I found the cutest handmade dress-up costumes, fabulous capes, and accessories. The capes were so cute that I even bought one for Ocean. Gift Mode on Etsy is the best. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday gift for the reality TV fan, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
And we are back with Give Them Bo Brock with Randall. Give Them Bo and Brock with Randall.
Perfect.
That's the name of this podcast. Give Them Bo and Brock with Randall. I'm always third billing. Oh, and with Jackson A. Great. Good point. I mean, we love Jax, but boy, he just gives it to us. He just feeds it to us. I mean,
it's
tees it up. All right.
I was going to ask about, do you have like a playroom, play area? I created like this fun, because you know, Stas is very like, we need to keep everything chic. We got this house and then this house is not very baby-esque. We didn't know we're going to have a baby. So I was like,
okay, that's right. Because people don't know. I've been in your house. It's beautiful. It's in the Hollywood Hills, except it's like three levels with tons of stairs,
three levels, and it's just like, and it's everything just looks very nice. So yeah. I'm like, where are we gonna have like all these plastic things and colorful things to,
yeah, like you're like when I see your house, I'm like Architecture Digest, like very very Hollywood, like very
Spanish,
very Spanish.
Yeah.
For me, you know, we in her nursery, Lala set up like a bunch of like, you know, play stuff and all types of stuff. And then in our bedroom, we also have like stuff. So that's kind of where we're at right now, because she's not moving around so aggressively yet. I think we're getting pretty close.
Well, see, obviously she has the nursery and we have all the fun stuff in there. But now that she's moving around, we have to go to different sections. So it's like, we want to hang out upstairs, need to have something. So behind the couch, I just pushed, we have a huge living room. So I pushed the couch up closer to the TV and I have a good about 8 by 6 feet in the back.
Oh, that's smart.
Where I went on and like designed like a floor plan, like a floor mat. There's like soft tiles. It's like
I like the soft tiles.
Yeah.
Oh, we have those upstairs in the nursery. The little cushion.
The cushion things.
Yeah, I love those.
And then I had to buy two, but they're like the little plastic playpen fences. You know what I'm talking about?
Right,
it's just like a little gate.
Right.
So then I just, right behind there, and it's just below the couch. So if you walk in, you can't really see it.
So
it's like, it's almost like an invisible play pair until you walk up towards the back.
And then you see it.
Yeah.
So when you guys are chilling watching TV, she's got her own fun area.
Yeah. And then usually we just sit back there because there's a little bench so we can have the television on, so we'd still watch and then play with her.
Well, I just want to say, and then I want to hear you, but I just got to say this. So I'm still in a 3.5 year renovation, as you know. And we're waiting. And it's like, renovation.
I like how you got the pickleball court done first.
Of course. Well, priorities.
You know,
priorities. I push those permits.
For my own sanity, I need this.
I push those permits hard on the pickleball court. No, but we're like days away from getting our final permits, which has taken 12 months on the family room. And I obviously when that's done, we'll have a whole area like that, which I think
just
is smart.
Leave toys and all
That's inspiring, because now I'm thinking, okay, when we put the couches, like, well, that's a smart thing to do.
Because they'll start to get bored. Like, if they're just in the nursery.
Just in a dog kennel.
I mean, exactly the thing. They'll just get bored. It's like they can run around and play with the same toys, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, is that a plastic bottle? I'm like, you want to sit there and play with the plastic bottle for 5 hours? Not the thousands of dollars of freaking, you know, toys and stupid shaky things that I bought.
The Disneyland I built for you.
Right.
Behind the couch.
You want the 59 cent, like, Arrowhead bottle water.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying.
But listen to the crunch. Ready?
Yes.
Wait, and what about you? What's your setup with
The setup was, I mean, we had like some soft blankets and all that, but now she was kind of definitely moving. She's definitely on the floor. And so I wanted to give her more firm things. So we ordered the tiles. There's actually some really good options online where you can go ahead and get really nice designer ones. We didn't go that route. We just got the cheap colored ones for now. But I called it a kennel. Whoa.
Sorry.
I called it a kennel, and Sheena told me off for that because it's a playpen.
Yeah.
She's like, please do not
call it a kennel.
Please do not tell people you're putting your child into a kennel.
Oh my God.
Because you might get in trouble.
Like, is that what you do when you guys go on vacation?
You just drop her in the kennel. I dropped her off at the kennel.
But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. She's still like walking around. She's got all her nice expensive toys. And then there's also the cheap stuff, the cardboard and the anything in the mouth, really.
Wow.
So. My nanny puts the Ziploc bag and then dried pasta shells in there. And it's like this perfect little shaker that she can eat and chew on and shake around and throw. And
wow.
I'm like, really? I'm like, you don't want this shaker? It lights up and it plays and it talks to you. You don't want Elmo? You don't want Peekaboo Elmo?
You just want
the pasta in the bag?
The cactus. Have you seen my Instagram stories?
I follow you.
The freaking cactus. It scared the shit out of her. You press a button and it goes. It has like 100 songs of these weird. I can't tell. It's not Spanish. It's not Portuguese. Not Italian. I think it's like Japanese. or Chinese, but they're making the voices sound like they're from other. I have no idea. And then also, you press a button, and when she goes, I got that, Papa. It will do it again.
Stop.
It's literally
the dancing cactus. I've seen that.
It does it, but it also like it imitates her.
Oh, so she says something and says it back.
Yes, it's the best thing.
Where do I get that?
Amazon, but there's like literally 50 different versions. You have to find the one with all the music and it and it the does Japanese the playback. One. Yeah, I mean it's all the same thing, but it's just weird music. You're like, where is this from?
This sounds great.
She loves it.
This sounds great.
It took her like three because the first 3 weeks she hated it, but we got two of them: one in the upstairs playpen and one in the nursery. So it's
you're doubling up.
Yeah, you
you're
have
doubling
to.
Down.
She loves that thing so much. It's just like
wow.
So she can dance in front of it and then
the thing just moves around and it's just like mama. I mean, it's, and I have all, like, at least I have three songs
you have
that are
to
in the
say,
back of
you have, to, you have to post a video this week because I want to see how
when we post about this, I'll put it on.
I'll
add in.
We'll post our crib setup.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I'll show you mine.
Okay.
We'll do like a little walkthrough. I'll open the
gate. It's like lifestyles of Rich and Babies. Exactly. You brought up something on the break that you had to deal with this weekend, like going to football and stuff, and how you face your partner, whether it's a real support of go enjoy or it's bullshit and it's a trap. Tell me how your house works. Tell me how your prison cell works.
Yeah, so I was like, that sounds more correct. No, Stassi's fantastic, but it last night was a little difficult. But the majority of the time, I'm going to say 80% of the time, it's not like Russian roulette.
Oh, it's not. Know?
It's 80% of the time
you're good.
Go, but then after last night, I was like, oh, there. When she said go out, I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure I can stay? Messenger at halftime. Rams are losing. I can totally leave right now.
Right.
Right now and be okay.
Right.
And then, you know, of course, I was with Tom Schwartz. She's like, no, go ahead. So then we walk down to Hamburger Mary's.
Oh, you're done.
And it's drag show. And then next thing you know, I'm like, okay, I said I'd be back at 6. And I'm like,
no.
Tom and his little half shots. And then he's
what is with his half shot bullshit?
Well, I finally got him. I finally was like, no, mother. I was like, if you're
full shot,
if you're gonna put something in my face, you better drink it too. So that's the thing. So it's like if I'm going walking out here toasty, so are you.
So he drank.
So he drank. And I left and I came home and I was like, hi, time. I'm gonna hang out with baby and wash her, get you know, take the bath.
Yeah.
And everything was fine. Then once the baby got put down, whoa,
no.
And I was like, I don't know. I'm like, are you, but baby, I was
you
like,
told
I'm
so, it.
I'm like, you, but you told me that I could go out.
And what did she say?
And she's like, no, it's fine. It's just I was like, but I asked you, and I told you I could go back. I'm
it's
so
like
sorry.
You, it's like you plead for your.
And then I'm just like, but you said. And I was like, five. Like, no, you can't do this to me. It's wrong. It's wrong.
Oh yeah. And then you get so righteous about it.
And then I made a pizza, and I was like, and I guess we texted wrong, and I made like this flatbread pizza, and then it was not very good. And then
it was drunk pizza making.
And for myself. And then she's on a like you know after pregnancy kind of diet and weight she's eating.
Oh.
So I told her I'm like I'm pulling it out, you know, thinking that she would come up.
Right.
So she didn't, and I threw the pizza away because it also was gross. I kind of undercooked it, and I threw it away. And then next thing you know, she comes up and she goes, "You threw the pizza away? I wanted some." And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It was so bad.
Oh, you were losing on every level.
And then I'm like, I have another one. I went to the garage, got another pizza, literally takes 10 minutes to make, put it in there. I don't want it. You don't want it. And then I'm like, I can just make it. It's the same pizza. I can literally make it right now. You put it in the oven on. And then I was so angry. So then I threw that pizza away.
Then she wanted
and
pizza
then,
again.
But then like me throwing that second pizza away, then it was just me being a brat and an asshole. But
right.
I was like, well, fine. You know, and then I'm like, I'm really sorry. I am so sorry. Like truly from the bottom of my heart, I didn't know because you know. So now, never throw pizza away.
And by the way, I want to say something. Normally, I'd be like looking at you like, what a sad life you have. But then I think about my life, and it's the same. It's exactly the same. Like literally this week, I the World Series of Poker just started in Vegas, and I was like, she knows that normally because it's normally in June, but you know because of COVID they moved it. So I was like, I'm really not playing as many events as I would normally play, and I was like, it already started. I've missed like 7 events because I'm home, and I looked at her right before she went to New York, and I said, babe. I love you so much. No, I love you so much. And I want you to have the best trip of your life in New York. She goes, yeah. I said, no, but I really mean that.
And she's trying to hype up her. Like, enjoy this experience you're having.
And you're going for 3 days, and I want those 3 days to be magical. And then I was wondering on Tuesday if I could go to Vegas for one event in the World Series, but come right back on Wednesday morning. It's exactly how I say it, too. And it's like quiet. And she goes, because she's really cool about all that. And she's just like, babe, yeah, go. I go, so hold on. So I could definitely go. Then I'm like enunciating. I'm like, so I can definitely go to the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas on Tuesday, back Wednesday? Babe, yes. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna go. Okay, love you. Like it's like I'm petrified because even though she says yes, what happens tomorrow morning when I get on the plane and go?
Or Wednesday? Or Wednesday when you come back?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What made me think of this? How you're like, I love you. You need to do that for like going to dinner or just any the smallest thing. So you keep saying that. So when you do have to ask for something, it's numbed out, right?
Yeah.
Also, get on your Instagram live. And then record her saying that, and then you have proof.
Oh, that's
and the world has proof. So if she wants to shame you again about the diaper, you could be like, "Oh, well, look at this. Look what I got in my back pocket."
He is playing at the same level as them.
Bo, you are. Right?
That just popped in my head.
You are thriving right now. I mean, look at Brock and I. We're so beat down. We're like, tell us more.
Bro, I wear the pants. I just don't pick them out every morning. I'm fucking under the thumb, bro. I wear the pants. And she tells me which ones to wear.
Okay. Dude, is this okay?
No. By the way, Lala would like right now, if she was listening, I mean, if she was here, she'd say, you know, that's bullshit. I let you do, you know, where you want to. And I'm like, she does give me, you know, because I travel for work and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, like when it comes to like a personal, real straight up personal trip like that, yeah, I have to ask for mercy.
And we're also not like we're not trying to sound that our wives are like
no,
you know, Stas gives me so much freedom and she's a fantastic mother.
Of course.
But this is just how ladies and gentlemen or ladies who's listening to this is basically what we talk about if there was no mics. We sit there, we gossip, we complain, but when we go back we're like, whatever you want, babe. Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, that's literally how it is as being a dad. You know, we sit there and we talk and gossip about all the, you know, well, she did this, well, I want to do this, I'm taking control, I'm the man, I can do this, and then we're like, yeah, what do you want? Okay, I'm so sorry, can I make you another pizza? Okay, whatever you want.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going through it right now because we have the same issues because it's kind of like I want to fly, but at the same time, well, I got to do it with planning, and I'm the worst with planning.
Yeah, I'm not good like that either.
So the only way, like, where it makes sense, and when I get an argument, is when I'm asking her to do stuff, but she's like, "Yeah, but you didn't plan for this. You just want to spontaneously go hang out with your friends. Sounds fucking fun, but I'm gonna have to. We have to plan."
Yeah.
So if I can plan ahead, I get 100% yes.
Yeah.
But
same.
I get 100%, but it has to be planned.
Yeah, that's why I ask like 5-6 days ahead.
Same.
Yeah.
You even have to plan just for like baby dates and stuff. You don't have to plan to do anything. There's no going out by yourself like last minute.
No sporadic stuff. And then what I try and do is I double down on the emotional deposits because I'll be like, hey, honey, are you sure you don't want to go out with your mum and sister and your mum and your friend tonight? Like, I'll stay home with baby. I didn't want to go out anyway, but I'll stay at home with the cats, whatever. But if I can give her those emotional ones so I can like take those, take that credit and just cash in and have the credit in there and be like, hey, honey, I'm going to double down right now. I'm going to go to Vegas with Randall. See you later.
And
as long as it's planned.
Okay. Yeah, I think, frankly, listen, Lala's easy as cool as they get. But, you know, again, I think just notice. Like, she wants to say to me, like, hey, I'm going to go with my girls to dinner, like with the girls. And she says it like, you know, hey, tomorrow I want to do this, whatever. I'm like, okay, go have fun. And I think it's the same. I think it's just, you know what? We're joking about our girls being like that. But at the end of the day, I think it's just mutual respect. It's like, hey, I want you to feel safe and comfortable. I'm going to go on this trip. Is this okay? Do you feel okay?
100%.
And what about you? How's it with you, Sam? Same? Like the planning?
Well, it's the plan. The planning. This is a tough one for me because I don't have a nanny. I have a mother-in-law.
Oh, that's a whole nother layer.
And it's a whole nother beast.
do tell.
Share with us, Brock.
But it is honestly like this weekend we had a blow up and then I reflected and I actually apologized.
Hold on. Okay, you can't just skim over that here on Give Them Lala with Randall when today is Give Them Bo and Brock with Randall. Don't skim over that like a rock across the water. just define blow up because we've all had them. So we just want to know what if level. At DEFCON, was this DEFCON 10, 8, 3?
This was DEFCON 10. Like,
whoa!
I've been at home for 2 days by myself.
With you and Erica? Like that kind of?
Yeah, me, Erica, and Sheena. We had more words from Vegas, got back. Well, here's the reason. Do not put somebody in a car when you have different opinions of somebody for 4 hours to Vegas and 4 hours back. 3 out of 4 weeks in a month.
That's
what I put it down to. We just had enough of each other and each other's opinions, and then I lost the
Is it you and Sheena different opinion, or you're the mother?
Me and Sheena and me and her mom.
You were against both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, this is you're done.
Guys,
and by the way, I get out in Death Valley in the 122 degree heat, and I walk. By the way, Lala would have kicked me out of the car. I wouldn't even have a choice. So it wouldn't even have been an option. I would have been like driving, and she'd be like, stop.
Get out.
Get the fuck out. Uber your shit to Vegas. Well,
see, I can see like the window roll down, and then like a bottle, and then she pours out half of it and then puts the cap on and then throws it at you and then drives.
Were you there on that trip that we went on?
I was passing by.
Just got dropped off.
Hold on. So you guys had a different opinion. Do you want to get into that, or that's private?
Well, it's the same. It's the same as opinions. It's like right now you can't ask anyone what their beliefs are in politics or anything.
Why are you doing this? It's your core values. Why are you doing this on the way to fucking Las Vegas?
I'm not. It's just my core values. And when somebody else says their values, I'm just sitting there driving in a car, I have to listen to it for four hours, and I absorb until I get there and I get out of the car. I'm like, honey, we're not doing this for a while. And that was it.
That's like talking about that in Christmas and Thanksgiving. There's certain things you don't do to yourself.
It's a given.
Oh my gosh! I want to be in a car for.
No! I'm getting anxiety right now.
It's like at least at home Thanksgiving those dinners. At least you can like go to the bar and like
you can
like,
get obliterated,
get a shot, and get obliterated, and then go back down. You're like, yeah, you sure.
We get to pull into a gas station. I just get out calmly, walk inside, get a Red Bull, stay in there for 10 minutes, and walk back in the car and crack it, and just keep driving.
I also
put my earbuds in.
I thought you were gonna walk around the back and be like, start punching the garbage can.
This, honestly, I don't think there's any version of this experience that I could tolerate. Do you know there's airplanes today, right? And you could, for $99, you could get on like Southwest. Yeah. And it's worth the peace of mind. Because this 4 hours between your daughter, Sheena, and the mother-in-law. I mean, I'm down for Sheena. I love Sheena. She's one of my friends. But like you put two women and a baby in a car with you. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, also you got to think about too. When she's older, that you can't have that kind of argument too. When the baby realizes that stuff, we weren't arguing
in the car.
Right.
I was completely silent for 4 hours.
Oh my god!
Because I was just hearing opinions, and so I just bottled it up. I wasn't responding to anything for 4 hours. No. I was just like,
oh my god,
tweaking.
Oh my god.
And then when we got there, I was like, honey, this is how I feel about that last 4 hours. And I delivered it very poorly. And I upset.
Yeah, we all fuck up there.
I upset. And then so she's like, look, I'm going to stay at my mum's for tonight. You enjoy. You go get focused. You get what you need to get. And the role of the story was I was just projecting all my frustration with work and trying to find my balance out. Yeah. That when I have somebody else there having their opinions about their stuff, I just snap on them.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be my mother-in-law.
You have like this stereotypical mother-in-law relationship. I don't. Like Dana, Stassi's mom, godsend. Like godsend. Yes, you know, sometimes
she's
like,
hold on. What?
But she doesn't live 20 minutes away.
Wait, do you guys hear that? Hold on. Kissing an ass. Kissing ass right now? Let's take a break right here and let's give it up to Dana. All right? Yeah. So you can make us all fucking look bad. What the fuck is this?
No, but it's true.
I mean, Dana's fucking an angel.
Yeah, but also it's like having a parent or like a family member close, because my mom's in Florida. My dad,
that's what it's like. It can be frustrating for me, but at the same time, my mom's in Australia.
But you're lucky.
My family, right. You know what I mean? Like, right. So I respect that. And that's where my issues, when it comes down to it, is just my issues. And I have to be like, all right, Brock, just shut up. You'll be fine.
And also the help that you get from her, as much annoying as you guys hit, she's a blessing. I would always be
blessing. Yeah. I agree. Like, I'm also lucky because we have her mother who is at the house a lot. Like 25 days out of the month. But the thing is, Lisa's like one of my best friends. True story. Like, she's there for Lala and I, and she's phenomenal. But I'll tell you, having Lisa be able to get on an hour and 16 minute flight, like last night, she came in, Lala went out of town, and I was like, come help and be there with me. And like, you know, just it does make it easy for me, because my mother's you know, she's in her 70s and she lives, I mean, she flies all the time, but she's in Miami. That's a 6-hour flight through time zones. Lisa, I could call within an hour and she's here an hour, you know, a couple hours. So I think it is nice. Like, sometimes we take it for granted and we, you know, we all get
You guys are missing.
Hold on. Hi, Lisa. Lisa's the best.
Yours is still a flight away and yours is a flight away.
No, yours is, no.
Dana's only an hour and a half away.
Oh, mine's 20 minutes down the street.
Yeah, later.
Similar, it's kind of similar trips.
Yeah, but mine's 20 minutes down the street.
Gotcha. I thought she was like in Azusa.
She's in Azusa. So on the freeway there, it takes like 30 minutes. Oh, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
But what's the biggest fight you ever had with your mother-in-law?
Ooh, one. It was just Vegas? No. We had one down in San Diego where she was worried about the people setting up the tent too close to the footpath, and I was like, "Why are you talking about somebody else's? They have nothing to do with us." Like, you're talking about something that doesn't affect our life in zero ways, and I don't want to have this conversation, and I sounded like an asshole.
Yeah.
And I made her upset. That was the biggest one.
By the way, we've all been there, and like, especially during COVID when like it was really intense and business and, you know, you're stressed just to put food on the table and all that stuff. You know, we've all done things, and you know what I love about Lisa? Honestly, this is true, both of us. When we have been wrong and she's been wrong and I have been wrong, one thing we have in our group is we can always apologize and be forgiven. Like, that's the thing about family.
That's fantastic.
Because I don't have that with everybody in my life. Like, there are people who hold on to shit for a long time. If I fuck up and I say, Lisa, I'm really sorry I said that, or I'm sorry that I acted a certain way that hurt your feelings, she forgives me. And vice versa. She's come to me and said, I shouldn't have whatever done that. And I'm like, thank you. Like,
that's
so great. So I think as long as you can always own it and be forgiven, then it always, things work out, at least in family, you know? Because I think a lot of family members sometimes go on for decades not speaking. I mean, I have friends out there that don't talk to their parents or their in-laws because one thing happened and both sides can't.
Politics at Thanksgiving.
Right.
Or in a 4-hour car drive.
You're done.
It's like, yeah, I just think life's too short. And, you know, family at the end of the day, no matter what happens in life, you're always going to go, you know, the family's never going to, they're not leaving.
I feel like your feelings are always valid at that point in time. You feel like that for a reason. So even if you express them, then apologize for it after. It's okay to be wrong.
Correct.
But you just felt like that.
Correct.
As long as you're going to eat it up and be like, you know what, that was my bad. But as long as the other person understands that they could be in the wrong too, and they acknowledge that as well.
Right, but then it's also being the bigger person. I'm going to take this one. I'm just going to take this loss.
And I think we all have to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, some fights you can't.
It makes it, like you said, life's too short, you know, and keeping family, especially now that we have kids and, you know, the holidays are coming up and more holidays and like later down the road, you want as much family around that, you know, around our daughters that, you know, so it's not like, she just has us and like maybe like one mother for Christmas or Thanksgiving, you know? So I'm always like, oh, would you like to be a part of my family? Like, would you, you know, cause I'm an only child. So it's like, well, my sister, you always go to bed
when you went camping. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't get there.
We didn't do the camping, but I always just wanted like, you know, like a whole bunch of family around.
Right. You want like the big gathering.
But being Italian, you probably did you have your family around?
I didn't meet them until I was like 22.
Damn.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So my birth father, my dad is when my mom got married when I was like 6.
Gotcha.
So that's been my family. So
yeah.
But now with Hartford, I'm just like really excited about Thanksgiving, where we're doing it, you know, Christmas. Wait,
let's talk about the holidays. So where are you doing your Thanksgiving?
We're doing an Arrowhead, but then might do it at our house too. We don't know. We're still trying to figure that out. But for Christmas, definitely we were thinking about renting like a Airbnb in Big Bear. But then I'm like, we have, I think, 12, 15 people coming.
Oh my God,
big. It's mostly like Stassi's and then my mom.
Yeah.
Do you know how expensive that is? Do you know how expensive that is? Yeah. And I'm just like, I really want like a white Christmas, like snow and all that shit. And I'm like, but that's so expensive. And I really like, where do we want to spend our money on? You know, it's like, so we're just, such a hard thing. And LA is just so not, like, I've never really lived in a Christmas area from Nashville to, Nashville.
Well, it's like me, Miami and LA.
Florida, Austin, you know, so these aren't very Christmassy times in Los Angeles, so we're still trying to figure it out. What about you guys?
So we're doing a Hawaii trip. She has done it with her family the last 3 years, so we're going to go to Hawaii, and maybe if Australia opens up their borders, my mum will fly over to spend it with us this year.
They can't even come out.
The borders are closed.
It's pretty tough.
They
right
might
now.
Be opening up in December to leave and come back, but right now it's still closed. So we'll be doing Hawaii, and then that'll be nice. Before Christmas
and then New Year's,
and then we'll be back. We'll just be back here. We haven't got any plans
what about
for
you, New Year's.
I have no idea. I mean,
yeah, that's a little bit too far.
I mean,
you mean 6 days from Christmas? It's too far from Christmas.
Because it's a specific moment. Also, New Year's sucks. I don't even remember what I did last year.
New Year's is overrated.
I don't think I had a great New Year's since I was like 27.
Do you know why I like New Year's? I like New Year's because it's just a vacation time where everything's closed and allows me my only 2 weeks between Christmas and New Year's to just be chill. Yep. Like, you know what I mean? Without worrying, like, oh my God, who's doing this?
Because really, people check out. Nobody's doing anything. People from check them out. For all end of December, beginning of January, you're not getting any like up top there. You're not doing anything business wise.
Correct. I agree.
But also New Year's with a baby. How is that's going to be a total different New Year? Maybe we all get together and do baby stuff or something like that.
Well, for New Year's, we'll be in Miami. Okay. So everybody, if you guys want to come down, obviously, and we're going to babies on the beach, chill, you know.
Babies on the beach.
Babies on the beach. Bottles. And then Christmas, you know, like because of my whole life, I grew up in Miami. In LA, right? So like I never had a white Christmas ever. The Lala has really driven it home that for Ocean's first Christmas, she wants to spend it in Deer Valley. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to rent a place up in the mountain and first time I'll ever have Christmas in the snow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Yeah. That's the kind of same type of snowy vibe and all that stuff.
I don't want a snowy Christmas.
No.
I'm fine with the beach. I mean, she's the boss. So she gave me Miami for New Year's and we compromised. Okay. Christmas. Yeah. I'm like, okay, Christmas. But you know, I like skiing. And the thing is that every year I go to Sundance. It's the only time I ever ski. And because Sundance has been canceled, you know, in terms of live the last couple of years, this will be nice to go and I'll be able to ski and Ocean will be able to have her first Christmas in the snow that she'll never remember.
Get a little. Yeah, but you know what?
She'll never remember.
With all the videos that we take of it, she's going to remember.
By the way, I agree. Good point. Because there's so much video footage.
It's just so easy. Yeah.
It's like I have like the hard copies back when I was a kid. Jax has the black and white copies of photos.
I have the VHS cassettes.
Oh, yeah. I have those too. I was saying Jax has like, you know, old black and white photos because he was born, you know, back in the 70s, back before color was invented. So I was born in 80. So that was 1980. That's right when colored photos.
Jax and I, our photos are like Polaroids. And it's always like March 81. You know, February 74.
Written in cursive on the back.
And I faded because it's like the blue ballpoint pen. It's like faded. All his shit's like, you know, fucking video, Instagram.
It's actually.
How old are you?
I'm 31 now.
And you?
99.
41.
Okay. And I'm 50. That's crazy. You get a little 50, split. 40, 30.
Right in the middle. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Like you were born, like I was born before Nintendo. You were born what? Like Super Nintendo?
Yeah. The second Nintendo 64.
I was born Atari 2600.
I had that. My dad had that with the freaking
orange button for Missile Command.
Pong,
of course.
There's an Instagram that pops up that's like has all the game consoles, and they're like, "Which one are you?" And I'm like, "The first one."
I was the one before that.
Like, it was the tested ones before it became
a thing. Dial.
Sketch it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And then what about? I mean, it's just fun to reminisce. But what about technology? So when you were, so we'll start with you. When you were born, like I mean, when you were young,
technology is also slower in Australia.
It is
a little bit.
Okay, so when you were a teenager, like because that's the time you want to remember, like when you were 13 to like 17, what device did you rock?
Oh, I didn't even have a phone. I grew up in the country, so I was
nothing. What was your first phone you ever got that you can remember?
3315 when I was like 16.
Nokia. Just a square device.
Yeah,
I remember. Okay,
and that was my first phone.
You? I had a pager. I had a 93 pager. Wow. A pager where you would like you have to go to the 7-Eleven.
Wait, 93. I was graduating college and I had my first flip phone. And then I remember I was so excited going to get the flip.
93, you had a flip phone?
94 when I was graduating college.
Maybe my mom just didn't buy it for me.
You probably didn't get it.
You got robbed. Like, I got the pager. We all had pagers.
I had a pager all during college, but then I was able like in my
senior. So what does a pager do?
It's a little spot.
Take a moment, please. Just take a moment. Take a moment.
Yeah.
This is what's amazing about generational gap. Brock just said, and by the way, not even making fun of you, I'm just saying, wow.
Well, because I always see them in the movies, like, oh, I got a pager. They look down, and it's like,
I just want to take this moment. I mean, yeah. He's being sincere. That's what's amazing.
Okay, I feel like I just grew another wrinkle.
By the way,
I think I just aged.
You, I'm picking out my coffin.
You have two.
I'm picking out my fucking casket. The fuck? Let's go look at plots.
I'll send you a page, bro.
Wait, tell them what the pager is.
So a pager was this little, like, you know, device square thing where, like, your mom would call you and, like, it would be from her number and you'd be like, oh, you got to pull over the 7-Eleven.
The number would show up. And it'd be like, this person's reaching you. And then you have to go to a payphone.
Put in a dime. Back then it was a dime.
Yeah.
A dime. And then to call. And I'm like, hey, mom, what's up?
And you'd be like, oh, mom, I just got a pager. She's like, what time are you going to be home? You're like,
So she's kind of calling you on a
vibrate.
Right. And it gets the number. But then, like, in high school,
you would send messages.
143 if you're dating someone. She would just randomly message you 143, I love you.
Okay.
And then you could do certain little things, like certain little codes and stuff with numbers.
Down,
or your friends would know that this is like, you know, like
where we're going to meet.
Yeah.
All types of shit.
Or like her number, then next it would be like her, like another code with like all ones, which means like an exclamation point is an emergency. Get over there.
My parents had phones from the minute they came out. My parents were like into the technology, and my mom had that first brick phone. I was so
sad. Is that the one with the backpack? My dad had the big thing.
Yeah. It was like, it looked like you were working on like an aircraft carrier.
He also had one in his car. I remember it never worked. He had one in the car.
Oh, they had them in the car too.
He had them in the car.
Those sucked.
And it never worked. I was like, this is a brand new car and this thing doesn't work.
But with the cord. I mean, with the cord of the whole thing. Like in the car.
Did you ever see like the Beverly Hillbillies movie from over the 90s? Remember when like the Beverly Hillbillies? It's like the 90s movie and they're sitting in the back of the limo and they just, you know, get out of their country and she pulls out the brick phone.
Oh my God.
And they're like, and the woman's like, oh, she thinks she's talking to somebody, Earl.
When
I moved to America, that's why I got a 424 number, because I wanted to be the Beverly Hillbillies.
No! Oh my God.
That's why I have a 424 number.
I was the same way. When I moved to LA, I wanted a 310 just to be like, oh, because at that time there was no 424, it was 310. There was only 310 and 213 and 818. So if you were like 213, you're a Hollywood person. If you were 818, you were the Valley. And 310, you were like Beverly Hills. I was broke, didn't have a nickel to make. I'm like, I'm Beverly Hills. Yeah. Meanwhile, I parked my car 16 blocks away from the valet because I didn't want anybody to see, you know, the rundown car I had because it barely worked.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah. I'm still 818.
You are?
Yeah, because when I first moved here, I lived in Toluca Lake for, I think, for the first year, and then Silver Lake.
And you kept it.
And I just kept it, yeah.
But you
21 years.
Wow. Same number?
Same number, 21 years.
Well, I think I've had about three in the 21 years, but one is like legit.
And I've had it for so long that sometimes people like mess it. Like people found out that I had a baby, all of a sudden I was getting all these random numbers, like, congratulations.
And
like,
you have no idea.
No clue.
Wow. No idea.
No clue.
No
I'm
idea.
Like, I still look at my
phone. I'm like, who's in these? I have so many random numbers.
Yeah. I'm the same, and you know, and then I start like I always want to change my number because I'm like you stop with all the constant messages, and then I'm like, then I get anxiety, like, oh my God, well then what about business, what about that guy like that I dealt with 3 years ago, what if he wakes up and wants to do a deal with me this year?
I can't,
it's like I freak out.
Yep.
I'm locked in now.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part? Zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress No Glue Manis and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala
and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off. Okay, I really hope my mom Lisa is not listening to this episode because I'm about to tell you what I got her for Mama's Day. It is her very own original song. She is going to flip. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, it's personal, and it lasts forever. I went to songfinch.com. It asked me to pick a genre, and my mom loves country, so I picked country for Lisa. It asked me to describe what I love about her and to share some memories. So I said she's an amazing Gigi to Ocean and she's such a force as a mother. I can't imagine my life today without her. And then I chose to be matched up with an artist and Songfinch gave me a few to choose from. I could see pictures of them and also hear a sample of their music. So I picked this amazing acoustic artist from Nashville with an unbelievable voice. I can't wait to hear the song he creates. So whether your song is for Mother's Day, a birthday, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song right now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song for free so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/lala and start your song. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/lala. Don't forget to share your song with us too. That's songfinch.com/lala.
I got one for you, boys. How's going back off the pages in the phone? Yeah, bring it back into being parenting. What about the sex life? How are we doing it? How's it affected you guys? Has anything changed? Because, I mean, let's start there.
Why are you guys all staring at me?
No, because here's the thing. I think we're looking at you because you're 9 months in. So you have the most runway away from the birth.
Okay.
So let's start with you, and then I'll go to me because I'm ahead of Brock. And then Brock is the closest to the birth.
Okay, so I guess I'm frustrated with myself because at 41, I should be like buying those pills at 7-Eleven at the front that like get you
those
know
the
mojo, because 41 I thought that my mojo is supposed to like go down. I don't know what happened, but like after Harper was born, I like, also I'm so attracted to my wife that I'm just like, you know, when she like just changes, I'm like, hey,
wow.
I am so attracted to my wife and my brain is so like sexually activated. Like the last 9 months, my body is like, I feel like I'm a rabbit. I'm always thinking about it. I'm always thinking about her.
Okay, hold on. In pregnancy, how often did you have sex?
All the time. When she was pregnant, all the time. Yeah, at least two times.
See, Lala talks about it. It got like awkward. I thought I was like,
putting my husband smacking her head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely slowed down.
Yeah.
I was like, honey, this isn't working.
It was
for
a little,
me,
yeah. Well, it's a little mental
I
for me.
I have a small penis, so I didn't have to worry about it. You guys are all like, my big old dick was going to pop it in the head. Get out of here. Scientifically, no way.
Whatever you have, I have half, okay?
I heard the song. Yeah, no, it was just like, there was a lot going on there. I was like, honey, this isn't working for me.
Yeah. It was emotional. It was a mental for me too during that. Now, what about after? After.
See,
so on. So are you saying?
Oh, so
you're
so,
every
so,
week.
So I'm, no,
every
no, no, week. No. So I would sit there, and she would be like, I have to get like, you can't just. We're not. You know, it's not like that first year that together where it's instant. So now I'm like, now I found the way. I'm like, would you like a midday massage? Because there's no more morning sex. Because Hartford's going to wake up. I'd rather sleep.
Now you know what the hardest thing for us and she's all about it, and she, you know, we just had a conversation like, you know, when she gets back from this trip, like she's really feeling it. And the thing about it is time, and that's something that we're now working on in the relationship. Is like, you just have to make sure that time in the relationship is a priority. And I think that was hard for both of us. I think the baby came. And everything was about the baby, and then work, and then coming out of a pandemic, trying to make a living, trying to put, you know, trying to get back to some level of even, because I mean, it wasn't a great time. And I think now we've looked at each other and said, there's nothing more important than time together. And I think it took us, we're 6 months into to Ocean, but I think it took us about 4.5 months. We started saying, okay, it doesn't matter. We have to have time for each other.
Because you guys are the foundation. You need to keep that.
Correct. Yeah. And I think people forget that. I think, you know, when you ask people, they'll say, and therapists have told me this, you know, that I've gone to in my life, just on an individual base, they say, you know, just so you know, relationship has more to be important. The priority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if your relationship is healthy, your children will be healthy.
100%.
If your relationship is dysfunctional, your children are dysfunctional. So we both took that as meaning not we're dysfunctional, but just like your kids are going to be great. But if you're great, they're going to be phenomenal, true. Right? Like they're going to be okay. So now we're saying, okay, time together, date nights, trips, like, you know, we just went on this Florida trip.
And making this,
yeah. Really and there's nothing more important to us now is creating that time together. So that's for us, it's helped us in our sex life and being reconnected in a more positive way just in a healthier way because our attention between work and our baby was taking up, like consuming us. But now it's like, no. Tuesday's date night, doesn't matter what the fuck's going on. We're going out to dinner and we're coming home and we're getting it on.
See, the date night's definitely that's easy.
But just that's easy.
When you get home from the date night, right. It's like, wait, I felt like we did the same thing, Sheena and I. We were like, well, we got to make time for ourselves. But then it got to a point where we were putting so much pressure on coming home and having sex that it wasn't happening because I was just like, for me, I was kind of like, I was like, oh, I'm just going to go to bed. Like, oh, I'm tired. Like, and so to get over that, we tried it a few times, went to Palm Springs. And even during like our first time having sex after baby was like 4 months into it.
Yeah.
And then, but even trying was like halfway through making out with her in like foreplay. I'm like, I like look at her. I'm like, what are you thinking about right now? She's like, oh, I'm thinking, is it still the same down there? Is my baby inside? Like, I was like, and then that doesn't do it for me. Like, I need you in with this. I need a response for that to get that energy going. So,
like, you need the connection, and you're also probably, and I know you because you're a sensitive person. Like, you want her to feel safe and connected. So you're asking her, like, are you okay?
How
are
you feeling?
Right, and she's also has the insecurities, which I know. You know, Lala has or had, you know, I think in the beginning, but it's like, I just tell her, like, it's you and I, like, don't worry. Like when we're in that moment, like, let's just, and she's, you know, I think you got to just work on it because there's no book to it. It's like,
what worked for us was just spontaneously. So instead of me going like, hey, like, let's go, we're going to go to dinner tonight. We're going to get it on after. I was like, hey, honey, I'm going to get in the shower real quick. Come with me.
Wow.
And then jumped in the shower and then it was like, oh, that was easy. See, wow. And then it just took all the stress of going to dinner and coming home and planning to have sex.
The mental runway of prepping. That's a good
I was
point.
Just like, hey, honey, jump in the shower with me real quick. And then we just started making out and then it worked.
God, it's almost like those, like the nerves, like when you're saying that, it's like the nerves on a first date. You're like, all the time, like, do I kiss her when I drop her off? I mean, like, I haven't got to the restaurant yet, but do I kiss her when I drop her off?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what do I do? What if, or, you know, those first moment. But we sit there and we just kind of, I just have the thing, like I was saying, midday massage and, you know, and I go midday massage, no touchy, like no sexy time, just to be like, if she doesn't want sexy time, you still get a massage.
Right.
And then sometimes she does. So then it's like, it's a win-win. She gets a massage and, you know, we get to, you know, make a love.
I love that for you, bro. Love.
Yeah,
I've never been so happy and in any relationship my entire life. But now with this one, she's a mother of my child, and she's amazing. Just the best. Like, and to talk to guys that have the same situations going on, like, I just always want to make sure I do the best version of myself for my family now. And that's the pressure I put on myself.
And it's an evolution. Like, nobody's perfect. Lala's not perfect. I'm not perfect. You guys, like, but as long as you work on it and you put the effort in, I think we'll all end up in the right place.
Yeah.
I think we're doing pretty damn good.
I think the three of us are overachievers.
I definitely didn't put my kid in a box yet, though.
Or a socks drawer.
Or a socks drawer.
You know what? Maybe we should try. I'm actually going to order egg cartons, milk carton. What is it? Egg cartons for all of us.
All right, guys. Listen, this was awesome. And honestly, this is probably my favorite podcast. This is the shit I love. And I know you guys like it. So we got to try to make this you know, every 8 weeks. Like, we rather try to do this because this is like good guys. You know, we don't get the time like to just talk.
We need to have like at least enough time for new things to happen. Correct. To talk about.
Like, a couple months goes by and we come back in, and now you know, and now your daughter's, you know, sprinting. Yep. My daughter's in marathons.
My one's still in the pen.
Well, dude, I want to thank you guys for the Give Them Bo and Brock with Randall podcast today. Right. I had the best time.
Same.
Everybody, Brock's Instagram is
Brock_Davies.
The good, the bad, the bogey.
And you know where to find me with my 6 followers. There you go. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. See you guys.
Welcome to Talkville,
the Ultimate Smallville Rewatch Podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.